Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to all, and thank you for joining us. So last week, we looked at Yeshua's initials, the Aleph and the Tav, or the Alpha and the Omega in the Greek's New Testament. Well, tonight, we want to look at our Father's initial that begins the name of Shaddai, meaning Almighty. But first, let us bless him in thanksgiving for our many blessings.
Abba, Father, El Shaddai, we bless you and worship you alone. You are Lord over land, sea, and sky, who turned our darkness into light. We pray for our unsaved loved ones to change their hearts of stone into love for you alone. Lord, give us wisdom and ears to hear your particular calling in these last days. We pray for our leaders and all the persecuted Christians that pain may escape them. We ask that you bless this program as we pray it glorifies you. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
And amen.
Well, it looks like another attempt to knock off Trump.
Yes. Don't they know that President Trump's not done until God says he's done? And should one day they succeed, it's only because God says your time is up, and not a minute before. You know, this 31-year-old far-left teacher has a master's degree, so I would assume somewhat intelligent. But his manifesto says he hates Christians, Trump, and his administration.
Which means he hates all Republican conservatives.
That would be my assumption.
He certainly has no regard for life and for sure no common sense.
Sadly, that does seem to be lacking amongst many in these last days. And then there's Iran.
At this point, still no deal with Iran.
Which we always assumed would be the case, knowing the Islamic regime would never give away its enriched uranium. It would be like giving away its heritage.
Meanwhile, we continue to squeeze their economy by blockading all their Iranian ports.
Yes. This is the best option, for it's like hitting them with an economical nuclear weapon.
So, better than bombs.
It's so. So, the IRGC says they will stop shooting at ships in the Strait if Trump will lift the U.S. blockade on them while delaying negotiations, of course, on core issues.
Including its nuclear program.
Of course. And we'll just wait till a later stage, they say. While also seeking guarantees that the war will permanently end, not happening. As well, it appears that the Iranian common folk, who we love and who just want their freedom, are beginning to more openly rebel against the IRGC, as many are beginning to receive weapons, especially their military freedom fighters, called the Immortal Guard, with the help from the amazing Mossad, our CIA, and some defectors of the Army's military who are not of the IRGC.
In fact, many explosions have been heard around Tehran.
Yes, and Karg Island, too.
But in Lebanon, Hezbollah continues to fire weapons at northern Israel.
In spite of the ceasefire, they are, and Israel can respond, but only after damage has been done. Thanks to President Trump's ceasefire with the Lebanese government to appease Iran at the time, even knowing that Hezbollah rules over its government. That was a bad move, in my opinion. The conclusion is that Israel must just wait and see what happens in Iran and whether Trump decides to resume the fighting or succeeds in reaching an agreement.
And what kind of agreement would it be?
Bottom line, any agreement leaving the IRGC in charge is a bad one. Meanwhile, Galilee residents will have to suffer for several more weeks while the state of Israel tries to ease their lives and help them get by in every way possible, hopefully,
But the IDF has to be real tired.
Oh, I'm sure. After 2.5 years of fighting, knowing it will probably also have to maneuver in Gaza to disarm Hamas,
who have passed the deadline.
And really only Egypt and Qatar can convince Hamas to do so. But so far have not applied the necessary pressure that is needed. Also not discussed much is the IDF will probably have to deal with an intifada brewing in the West Bank of Judea and Samaria. And finally, King Charles and Camilla landed in the U.S. yesterday, which will keep President Trump busy for a few days and will likely, perhaps more privately, show his displeasure over the U.K. not helping us with Iran. Although those kind of decisions are actually made by their horrible Prime Minister Starmer, who certainly in Trump's mind should be fired.
Would love to hear those conversations. Okay, you can send your end time, your prayer requests, comments, and end time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006 and we will give you a call back or by regular mail. Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your convenience.
Okay. Last week, we saw how Yeshua's Hebrew initials, the Aleph and the Tav, were written throughout the Old Testament, just sitting pretty, usually hanging around specific prophecies like Isaiah 52 and 53, and often next to God's name of Yahweh. Now, if you missed last week, again, be sure to go to shofarministries.net and listen or re-listen and take some serious notes, for God the Father has an initial too, and it's used for his name, Almighty,
which in Hebrew is Shaddai.
So when we say El, which is God, and then Shaddai, we are saying God Almighty.
He is our El Shaddai.
Yep. Now the SH sound in Shaddai is called a sheen. The sheen is of special importance and is seen on numerous Jewish articles, as on all mezuzahs that are applied to every Jewish outer door on their houses, and even some of the inner rooms that contain the scriptures, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, also saw in Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21, and it's called the Shema.
The Shin, the Sheen spelled S-H-I-N, looks like a W to us.
Yes, and here's the cool part. We can also make the sheen, again God's initial, with our fingers to bless someone.
So you're putting the name of God upon them.
Exactly. And there is a term they use to describe that. The Bible calls it spreading forth or stretching out thy hands. So when you read that in scripture, that's what they are doing. And for a specific reason.
You know, let's give an example.
Well, my favorite, and I think yours too, as it was a command by God in Numbers 6:27, where God tells Aaron to
put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them.
Of course, it's the famous Aaronic blessing still used today. But without some knowledge of your Hebraic roots, you couldn't know what it means to place God's name on someone, which is why you see unfamiliar Christians perhaps just using their right hand on, say, a child's head, never thinking about spreading the fingers.
In the shape of a W.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, your name begins with a sheen in Hebrew as well.
My name does, and mm-hmm. I thank my mother. Anyhow, to make the sheen, you separate the four fingers in the middle and the thumb to the side, again, making a space between. For some, now that might take some practice, but it gets easier. And we have another great example in Exodus 17 when fighting the Amalekites. Remember that, verse 9.
So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' arms grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword.
So not only did Moses separate his fingers, but when Aaron and Hur held up both arms, that is also making a sheen, with the head being the middle of the W. Do you get what we are saying? Every time you lift up your hands, you are making the sheen, God's initial. Which is why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8 to tell his people to raise up their hands.
For they were making God's initial.
Yes. And for a double blessing, you can split the fingers at the same time as you raise your hands.
And we have more.
We sure do. Remember the seventh plague of hail in Egypt in Exodus 9? Verse 29 and verse 33, Moses told the people that when he spreads out his hands, the plague will stop. And it did.
Much to Pharaoh's amazement.
Again, when scripture uses this descriptive phrase of spreading out the hands or raising up of the hands, it means asking for a blessing from God or giving God's blessing to someone else.
Maybe another example.
In Exodus 14:16, Moses lifted the rod and stretched out his hand, and the Red Sea parted. And later, with the stretching of his hand, the sea closed up, covering the Egyptians.
Another is the famous blessing we say at the end of our program.
Yes, we mentioned that already, but again, you need to read the last verse as well, which most do not. So I think we should. Let's read number 6, starting in verse 24, but continue to the end of the chapter in verse 27.
Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, "This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them."
Right. So again, most Christians stop reading at the end of verse 26. Perhaps it's because most don't know how to put God's name on anyone. It's raising your arms and spreading your fingers, which again makes the Hebrew letter sheen. That looks like our W. So now when you read scriptures like Psalm 88 verse 9, where David says,
"I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands."
Well, now you know what he's talking about. And in Job 11 verse 13, when Zophar urges Job to repent because he assumed Job must have sinned, Zophar says,
"If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him."
It was the best way to pray and worship God. Okay, in 2 Chronicles 6, verses 12 and 13, at the prayer of the temple's dedication, it says that
Solomon kneeled down and spread out his hands, for Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long 5 cubits wide and 3 cubits high, and had it set in the midst of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands towards heaven.
And Psalm 119, verse 48.
I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love.
Psalm 134.
Come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. And bless the Lord.
I think there's a song like that. All right, Psalm 28, verse 2.
Hear my voice when I lift up my hands.
In Lamentations 2:19, Jeremiah commands the Jews,
lift your hands towards him.
And also Lamentations 3, verse 41.
Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven.
And Nehemiah 8, verse 6.
Ezra, bless the Lord, the great God, and while lifting up their hands, the people answered, Amen.
With this being the common practice, do you think Jesus did it? Well, of course. And Scripture confirms that he did in Luke 24 at his ascension back to heaven, verse 50.
And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven.
And Psalm 63, verse 4.
Thus I will bless you while I live.
And how did David do that?
I will lift up my hands in your name.
And also Daniel explaining part of his prophetic vision in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7.
Then I heard the man clothed in linen.
That is Jesus.
Who was above the waters of the river. When he held up his right hand and his left hand to helmet.
To heaven.
To heaven. And swore by him who lives forever.
Speaking of his father. And he will raise his hands again to bless them at his ascension. I think we should read that again in Luke 24:50.
And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them.
I just love that. And now let's look at Jerusalem, and let's read Deuteronomy 16, verse 2.
Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God, from the flock and the herd, in the place where God chooses to put his name.
How often have you read that and wondered how God put his name there in a certain place? Well, let's read 1 Kings 11, verse 36.
And to his son.
And that's David's good son, Rehoboam, because Jeroboam rebelled against God's statutes.
I will give one tribe that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself. To put my name there.
Yeah. 1 Kings 14:21.
And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there.
Okay, God says that Jerusalem is the city he has chosen for himself and therefore has put his name there. How? God has engraved his initial right into the Jerusalem landscape by the three valleys that bisect the city to form the sheen in its very topography.
So his name dwells in Jerusalem. Just as he said in Scripture.
Yes. Okay, so picture a W in your mind, or better yet, write one down in your notes. Look at the left side. That represents the Valley of Hinnom, and that's where they would burn the wicked. And over on the right is the Kidron Valley, where David made his home and where the righteous choose to live, as it was close to the temple. In the upper right side, depicted with a dot on the sheen. We still are on the right today. Then up the middle was the Tyropian Valley, completing the sheen.
The first letter of Shaddai.
Again, God's initial, which stands for Almighty.
There is a picture of this sheen embedded in Jerusalem on shofarministries.net.
There is. And Deuteronomy 11 reveals that the land of Israel is very important to God, describing it as
a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year.
That's right. Also in Deuteronomy 12, continuing to receive their statutes with the command to destroy all the idols after crossing the Jordan River. Read verse 4 and 5.
You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. You shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go.
So now, knowing all this, what we said tonight, can you see why God commands in his word to lift up holy hands? You know, Paul exhorts the men as the heads of their household, as we read in 1 Timothy 2:8. Let's do that again.
I will desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands.
Because you are making his initial. And when you spread your fingers in the middle, you are doing it three times. And I would think that represents the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can't get any better than that. Okay, so now let me ask you. Do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it right now while you can. Unless, of course, you prefer to pay the debt for your sins all by yourself. It's always your choice. In reality, God sends no one to hell. You choose where you want to spend eternity. You know, maybe you are someone just happening to be listening tonight. Maybe you've contemplated taking your own life. You just don't want to live anymore. Well, you can end your own life and start over. You can become born again to a new life with Jesus at the helm. Let him be your anchor who will throw all your sins into the sea. Just get on your knees and ask him into your life. Let him rule over your life, and you will never regret it. Then pick up your Bible or get one and read all about him. He's there on every page. Start in the Gospel of John. And as you read, the Holy Spirit will grow and guide you into all truth. That is his promise. And that's my promise to you as well. It's just a better life to do. I can't even imagine going through things that are happening today without knowing Jesus and really having him in my heart. And you can too. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. As we already said tonight, it's from number 622. But I'll leave you with it again. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, if you love Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in ways you don't even know. Psalm 122, verse 6. God bless you. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.